Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, time for shovels, 410-583-1057. If you have one, Ed, who's getting your shovel?
I'm going to have two quick ones because Rob's not here. So
go ahead.
There'll be three. I'm giving it to President Assad, the former Syrian president. He flees to Russia in exile. He's under Putin's protection. Want to take a guess what's happened to him already?
What?
He's been poisoned.
Oh.
He's been poisoned.
Is he yellow now?
He's been poisoned. He survived, but apparently he was poisoned. He was choking. He was in pain. He was this. He was that. They're trying to kill him, and he's in Russia. You're in Russia under Putin's protection. Stay away from the windows. Be careful. My other one goes to another. This should win the Darwin Award. A zookeeper in Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan?
Yeah. 44-year-old man, by the way, not a child. 44-year-old man. He's working the night shift at Lion Park in Uzbekistan. He unlocks a padlock to confront some lions that had broken out at their enclosure.
Oh, I read this story.
He wants to impress his girlfriend, so he films it, that he's going to corral these lions and put them back. Yeah. They're initially calm, and he's like calming them down to be quiet. He's calling them by name and shh, shh, quiet, quiet, Simba, quiet. Yeah, well, they killed him and ate him. Yeah, on film. He videoed his own death to being eaten by lions who were pissed off. And the funniest part of me is I'm trying to picture him trying to talk to them like he's talking to a labradoodle. Shh, come on. Yeah. Calm down, babe. Calm down, Simba. Calm down. And these lions just attack him and eat him. Yeah, he was devoured partially by three escaped lions.
Good idea.
Well, she's available now, though.
Well, my shovel is going to go to me. I feel like I've been doing this a lot lately. The hell am I doing here? I have a colonoscopy tomorrow, and I'm going through all the prep today.
Yeah.
So I just push it back until I get off of the air to kind of start what I'm going through. I'm like, why did I work on a day where I'm going to be just miserable the rest of the day? Why not just sleep in and not be, you're going to be miserable anyway.
Yeah.
Now I remembered why, because after saying I have my colonoscopy coming out and some interesting things going on here, when we can take off, when we can't. Rob picked 2 days, and one of which he forgot he took off. That would have been my day to take off. So because you were going to be here, I'm going, you know what? I'll come in and work with Ed. I'm off tomorrow because God knows how far deep they're going to be in me tomorrow. But it's
I know about how far.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, like, I feel like this colonoscopy I'm going through has had more of an extensive lead up, like with the prep and all that.
Seems like it.
Them.
I've only had one, but it was one day. It was one day of drinking all that, you know, the Gucalax and the Gatorade and all that stuff. And then you clean yourself out. And by the time you go, you're done. You're cleaned out. And you have it done. You were going through it for like a week.
Yeah. I mean, I got to take Miralax twice a day leading up to it, a week out.
Yeah.
I've got a, like, the jug that I'm chugging, Ed.
Yes.
It's a 4-liter jug, and I'm supposed to chug 2 liters today and 2 more liters in the morning. When do I stop blowing out my O-ring? Like, I mean, come on. Anybody that's gone through this, the lead up and the prep, it's miserable. It's absolutely miserable. Yeah. I told my wife to put all of the toilet paper, all of it, in our bathroom. All of it. Because I ain't no way that I'm crab walking somewhere to find out. I'm going to jump right in the bath.
I'm going to install a bidet before this.
Yeah.
You're going to end up with diaper rash from all that wiping.
Probably.
Seriously.
All right. Somebody that deserves a shovel is Rashawn. Go ahead and ask this question. Rashawn's in Bully's
quarters. No. See, Joe, you know, took my question wrong.
He did? Okay.
Yeah. Basically, you know, everybody knows Zeke got released the other day, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason behind that was because he wanted to go play with a playoff contender. And I'm like, man, who in the hell would want to sign this guy? You feel me? Like, yeah. I wouldn't sign this guy to my practice squad, first of all. Jerry shouldn't have brought him back. He was a cancer to this team all season, man. You know, we should have been released maybe 10 weeks ago, and I believe we probably would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, let's not get ridiculous. But okay. You know what he averages per carry?
Three. Let me guess.
Go ahead.
You already said three something, right?
Yeah.
So what Yeah, I was going to guess like 1.5 yards per carry, but
no, he's got 3.1 yards per carry, and on the season, 74 carries for 226 yards, 3 TDs. Now, if I were being like basically as truthful as I can about this, I can't see anyone picking him up, but the only reason why I would see somebody picking him up, he's still a good pass pro back. Not that that should mean anything with protection in the backfield. And I still think because of his size and his ability that you could use him as a goal line back or short yardage, but I don't want to.
I don't want it.
And you know, I'm a Zeke truther. Like, that was one of my favorite backs coming out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
So appreciate the phone call, Rashawn. Let's grab Johnny and Dundalk. Johnny's on the fan. What's up, man?
Jeremy. Ed, Happy New Year. Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
Hey, yo, Jeremy, I got to give you a shovel, man. You can't be getting a colonoscopy. You can't be getting a colonoscopy and say you're going to push it back. Come on, man.
Oh, man. That's a good point. Johnny, appreciate the call, man. Have a great New Year. Push it back. Yep. Yeah. Can't do it. All right. Well, what was that?
What was that?
Did you play a sound? Did something happen? Was that you? Did you hear that?
Oh. Yeah, I was in my car.
Oh. All right, shovels are over. We've got plenty more to come up here on the show. We've got the Daily Line at 9:30. I've been pretty hot last night, 2-2 because of the Notre Dame getting canceled. My two losses were by a half a point and one in overtime. And then I swept all my other plays, 5-0. Feeling really good about today and this weekend, so we'll get into that at 9:30. But coming up next, we talk to Jim Duquette, get his thoughts on the Orioles, Jack Flaherty, Corbin Burns. Or is the season over? Are our pets' heads falling off? All that and more with Jim Duquette next on the Fan.
Pro Bowl Ravens just released.
Oh, welcome back, Big Bad Morning Show. I'm going to get on our first guest, well, our last guest of the show, I should say. Jim Duquette's going to join us here, former MLB GM, and of course with Sirius Radio. Let's bring him on. Jim, how are things with you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good.
All right. It's going. Yeah. For the second day of the year, not so bad. You know, it's been a good year so far.
I'm already ready for this year to be over with.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about the Orioles to start.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns no longer here. He goes to Arizona. People think that he just wanted to go home. His spring training is in Arizona. His family's in Arizona. The team's in Arizona. He gone. How do you feel about his departure to this team? And are you surprised they haven't made any other moves, really?
I'm a little surprised they haven't made, a bigger move so far. Yeah, I am on that part. I mean, you know, that not only were they basically telling us they were going to do it, but then, you know, you got the owner basically telling everyone he's going to spend money. He's giving them, you know, I don't know if I would say a blank check, but it's pretty close to a blank check. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised at that. And, you know, there's a lot of good starting pitchers in particular off the board right now. So, yeah, where do they go from here? I mean, you know, Jack Flaherty's been staring right at him again. I think we probably talked about this back at around the trade deadline. You know, maybe that was the time to trade for him then. But, you know, I mean, there are other starters out there, but just not at that ilk that Burns was, you know. So you might, for me, you need something. I would have to look at the trade front first before pursuing the Flaherty signing.
And that's where I was going to go to. What are you, being a GM and sitting in that seat and getting those phone calls, whether you were the one calling or someone's calling you about a player, I almost feel like, and I can't be certain, that the Orioles get phone calls about those top three prospects that everyone knows that they don't want to move, and that's what people are asking for, and this is why we never get anything done. What are your thoughts on the trade market? Because we've heard Dylan Cease, Luis Castillo. Is there anybody? Framber Valdez's name was mentioned. Your thoughts? Any validity there? Do you think they're good fits for the O's?
The other one is Pablo Lopez. We heard a little bit out of Minnesota. So that's another one that you can kind of throw on there on the list. I mean, I think that the one that had two that have the most legs are Castillo and Cease. Castillo, because he's making some money, obviously he's making $23 million over the next two, potentially 3 years. So there's something there. And Seattle is looking to save money, you know, so because the initial feeling is, well, why not try to trade for one of the young controllable starters? Well, they're trying to save money and they want a competitive team. So they're not really moving those guys. They're not moving George Kirby or Logan Gilbert as an example. So Castillo can be had if you're willing to take on the money, or Cease because he's a year away from free agency. So we saw this play out last year, right, with the Burns thing. You know, as the month of January goes on, if he's still available, you know, I would expect the Orioles were going to be playing on him anyway. But, you know, the blueprint of what they paid for Burns last year would be something similar to Cease. And I'd still have interest in Cease because, you know what, it didn't work this time to sign Burns long term, but it could with Cease. So I wouldn't let that be a deterrent as long as you don't have to give up, you know, Mayo or Basayo or, you know, the two or three top guys. I'm okay with, because they have enough quality and depth below that.
And Jim, this is a kind of broader question, not about the O's, just about, you were the GM of the Mets before you came to the Orioles. You know what it's like with the Yankee-Met rivalry in New York. Right. And with them picking up Soto, when you're making decisions as a Mets executive, does the fact you can stick your finger in the Yankees' eye ever play into these decisions, like picking up a Juan Soto?
Well, I mean, you just tell you, I mean, you know this from following the Mets through all those years. So going back to the early 90s when I was with the Mets, all the way till now, covering them, you know, for their TV, covering them, you know, for TV, for SNY. The Mets have never come out on top when it comes to pursuing a free agent that the Yankees wanted. Like, not, I mean, and this spans through their history, so it's over 50 years. So to do this one in particular, in you know, because you took them away from the Yankees, it has even more significance, at least in my opinion. Now, you know, we know it's not going to play out over the 15 years, but over the next six or seven, this is such an unusual thing, not just for Mets fans, but within the sport, to spend that kind of money. That's what made it so unique, I would say, in this watching that play out.
Good, I feel better now.
Talking to former GM Jim Duquette, of course, with Sirius Radio. And Jim, as we look at the Orioles and here moving forward, you know, people took exception to the whole liftoff thing that Mike Elias said and why they haven't done more. As you look at the moves they've made this offseason, even going back to the last trade deadline, do you think they were good moves, most of them? I mean, obviously now we can look at some of them and go, hey, I don't know what Trevor Rogers is going to be. They didn't give up anything for Jimenez, and he wasn't anything. But what about some of the moves they made last year, and then, of course, this offseason with likes of Tyler O'Neill, Gary Sanchez, and Japanese pitcher?
Sagano. Yeah, listen, I think Sagano's going to be, you know, a good back-end rotation type of pitcher starter. But I like you know, the O'Neill signing and the Sanchez signing as you know, complementary pieces, we'll say, to what they're trying to do. You know, even going back, like for me, the deadline, you know, it's only good if it works, right? So, you know, and that's just the reality of our sport or any of the professional sports. Like, all right, did the trades work? Did they get you further in the playoffs? They didn't, right? So I think you have to look at them and say, well, it didn't work out again. And to me, you know, I think Mike Elias even said this, like they didn't expect the offense to need as much work at the end of the season like it did, because basically when it dried up on them, and the pitching actually was pretty good. I think you have to self-evaluate yourself a little better, you know, moving forward at the trade deadline then, right? So that's two in a row I feel like that didn't hit. So I think you know, there should be and there is a lot of pressure on this group right now to be better than they have been over the last two seasons, which has been good, don't get me wrong, but you know, the division's going to be a lot better, certainly. You know, it looks like the Red Sox are spending more money now, right? The Rays are healthy this year, it looks like, and the Yankees are going to be good. So, I'm hopeful that the O's are going to spend some more money here, even though there's not a lot of quality still left. I'm hoping that there's a move somewhere in the trade market that's going to improve them dramatically.
What about the we get a lot of criticism from people on our airwaves and people call in and things like that, but Adley Rutschman. People seem like they've given up on him already because he had a bad second half last season. How do you feel about him?
Well, I sometimes he's had such a good career to this point until the second half last year, as you mentioned, that you know, you're always judged against your own expectations in some way. So I understand, you know, there's a level of concern, but I'm not concerned about it. He's one of the talented players in the sport still. And, you know, players are allowed to have a bad half. We see that all the time, you know. And I think with him, I don't know if he's ever struggled in his career. You know, I know I talked to Brandon Hyde about this once, not too long ago, and he said, you know, this is something that he struggled with over the course of the year, and talked to him a lot about in the second half. So I think recognizing it's first off, secondly, going through that for the first time is a big deal, especially at the major league level. So I think he'll be better for it. I'm not. That's of the concerns of the team. I'd say his is a minor one.
Jim Duquette joining us here. Last thing for you, Jim. Santander, where does he end up? I've heard some people say, why don't the Orioles throw Kierstead in a trade and try to bring him back? I just think the Orioles have a big logjam of players that are very similar. So trades make sense, but you got to find the right partner. But what do you think of Santander and where he ends up?
Boy, it's been pretty quiet, you know. Some of the players, like Teoscar Hernandez's market, it kind of affected Santander's market to some degree. And, you know, Hernandez was, because of the Soto market, Teoscar was looking for 4 years, 5 years, thought he could get more than that. So, you know, I think with Santander, now that the dust has settled a little bit, I think the Toronto is one place that really has his name written all over it. I mean, there's others that I've, you know, we've certainly heard, but I think they're one because they're willing to spend some money. I don't see Boston at this point in the mix. I'm having a hard time beyond Toronto seeing where he's going to end up. I know there's other fits, but I'd heard San Diego's name, although I'm also hearing they're trying to save some or cut back on some of their payroll too. So, you know, right now it's been awfully quiet, but I mean, he's going to end up somewhere. I like the idea, Jeremy, about trading a young outfielder and re-signing Santander. I'd love to see that, especially if the mark, you know, if it's a 4 or 5 year deal, something like that, not a 6 or 7 year deal. So, But I have not heard the Orioles in on Santander at all.
Jim, thanks so much, man. We appreciate your time as always. Hope you have a wonderful new year, and I'm sure we'll be bothering you real soon again.
Not a problem. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man. Great guy. Like, I love Jim. Like,
me too.
It's funny because like when Jim and Mike Flanagan and some of the guys, I miss Mike Flanagan, were in the front office, we always wondered, like, were you handcuffed in anything you can do? Like, how do you judge a guy when you're limited in what you can do? And that's why it's kind of weird now, because people feel like Mike Elias has the ability to go spend the money but hasn't. I guess we'll see if that's the case, and maybe he is just trying to be a smart businessman, but I know that's not what people want to hear.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. All right, we got the encore, what we learned, coming up, but up next it's the Daily Line. Hit my top play yesterday of Ohio State. As I said, the Notre Dame game got postponed till today. We'll talk about that game. And 2-2 in my top plays, 5-0 in my lean. So overall, a really nice day yesterday. I'll tell you what I like tonight. We got 4 sports: college hoops and football, NHL and NBA coming up next here on The Fan.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Now Scatabooch shifts to the left side of the quarterback, Sam Levitt, on third down. Play action. Levitt looks, fires for the end zone. It's intercepted! Picked off! Intercepted! Andrew Bakuba! This ball game is over! Texas is going to the Final Four!
There you go. That's courtesy of the Longhorns Radio Network. I think I've told you this story. Like, one time I was driving around listening to a broadcast, and it was the Texas A&M broadcast.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're live here with Skeeter and Slim Pickens. And it was like the most country-ass thing you could ever hear with those two guys. But that had to be one of the more amazing games to call yesterday. I was on the over. Very fortunate that the game went to overtime. Remember, Texas missed a field goal in regulation that could have won it. So many different things happening in that game. Very fun. The afternoon game was very fun for me, maybe not so much for everybody else. It wasn't a great game, unless you bet on Ohio State, and then you could actually sleepwalk through the second half knowing that they just absolutely skull-dragged them. Oregon was, 31-0 before you're like, are you guys okay? It's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
They got manhandled. My other plays in my top, as I told you here, I should just run through the whole damn thing. Real quick, my other plays that I had, Louisville over UNC, they won.
Real quick. Rob, real quick.
You got to get the bell. Notre Dame, which they play today. I'm back on Notre Dame again. We'll get to that. Had the Sacramento Kings that won by 6. They were -6.5. And I had Northern Kentucky -3.5. They won by 1 in overtime. So, a couple of tough losses. My leans, Texas over. The Miami Heat over. The Chattanooga over. The under in the Devils Kings. The over in the Hawks Nuggets, 5-0. So, what are we going to look at today? Now, I've already got my whole card ready for today. I'm so excited. Again, I'm back on Notre Dame. The more and more I've looked at this game, and it's weird with the game being moved and pushed up, I really like the under today. And I'm praying for the under for many reasons, which we can get to at another time. But I do like the under in this matchup. I think we're going to see two teams that are trying to establish the run. We'll see how it works out. Speaking of college football, the standalone game tonight was supposed to be Ole Miss and Duke. One thing I'll tell you, and I don't know why, Lane Kiffin had been rooting for a bunch of teams to lose. Like, he was rooting for Penn State. I think he's rooting for all these other teams instead of the SEC teams because he's pissed off that, or it's not rooting against SEC teams. Mm-hmm. He's rooting against the teams that got in because Ole Miss didn't get in. And there are a lot of times where I tell you, teams that don't get into, whether it was the Final Four of the college, you know, last year, how they did it, or going back to the championship game, if you were Alabama and all of a sudden they said, sorry, you don't get to go to the national championship, here's the Holiday Bowl, and then they go out there and get their asses kicked. So that's kind of where, like, my thought process usually leans. Like, I even talked about Michigan and Alabama. I was on the under the entire time, which it hit, got really ugly in the first half. But Alabama didn't want to be there, and you could see that. No. Michigan started their year by beating Alabama back in, what was that, January, and then they end their year by beating Michigan, or by beating Alabama yet again. So, looking at some of these other games, I think Ole Miss tries to run the score up tonight on Duke. That's what Lane Kiffin does, so I'm going to take them minus the 17.5. I like Montana State. That's right, Montana State hoops on the road. They're minus 1.5, 2 5-8 teams. Going up against each other. Nothing to write home about here except all the money's going to Idaho. Give me Montana State minus the points. Love the Timberwolves tonight. They play the Celtics. Celtics are a really, really good team, guys. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at this Celtics team, they haven't been as dominant as they should be. And one thing I know about Anthony Edwards, if you guys watched the Netflix basketball documentary thing they did, mm-hmm. where they followed DeMontis Sabonis, Anthony Edwards loves playing against Jason Tatum. And he talks so much smack to him. He loves that Tatum is the guy that they were trying to push to be that next superstar.
Yeah.
And he wants to take that from him. So I think the Wolves at home, live dog +4. And I think Florida Atlantic, 3.5-point underdog to Memphis. I think they're a live dog. They could win outright. Give me them. The other plays I like for tonight, I like.
You did know the Knicks won 9 in a row.
They're good. I told him what I tell you at the beginning of the year. This is what
Anthony Towns did last night.
He's just absurd.
31 points, 21 boards.
21 boards? Is that what he finished with?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah. He's just... Well, Utah's the team to do that against because they suck, man. I like the Carolina Hurricanes plus the 105. I like the under in the Vancouver-Seattle game. And like I always tell you guys, I don't know why, but I crush it in hockey. So take that for what it's worth. I like the over in Santa Clara, San Diego, Liberty in college hoops, and the Pacers. And just to recap my top five today, Notre Dame, Ole Miss in football, Florida Atlantic, Montana State in college hoops, and the Timberwolves plus the 4. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, it's been weird for me, and I guess I try to keep any sort of bias out of gambling. Sometimes you don't know it, that if you have it, like, I'll give you an example. Like, I talk about the Bulls overs all the time, right? Bulls play at the fastest pace. You just got to hope the shots are falling. But you got to pick the right spots, too. It doesn't mean I'm just going to blindly bet the Bulls over in every game and hope I finish on the right side. There are going to be games that I'm going to say, no, I'm not betting it. Yeah, I do think it's a decent play, but you see what happens in some of these games where they have a quarter where they score 12 points or they miss 75 F and threes.
I was like, can you bet on, like, three-point percentage from the field?
You can bet on makes. I'm assuming you could bet on percentage, but I don't... You might not find that. You might find something somewhat equivalent to it. Because, God, that was awful. And then the same thing kind of applies this week. I told you, I'm going to be on Texas against Ohio State. I can't believe they're giving up 6 points. I don't know why they're... It's got to be, like, recency bias of seeing them struggle to win a game against Arizona State and Ohio State just dominating the number one team in the country. So, but... It does look like Ohio State's cooking right now, but I do think Texas is a team that can just stop that. They can stop that offense. They definitely have pieces, so we'll see. And some of the other things this weekend coming up, too, NFL. I talked about it. I'm going to be, since I won't be here on Friday, I'm going to be on the Ravens. I like the Vikings. I like the Steelers. And I like the Jets, which just makes you want to vomit. Anytime you say that, like...
I'm just proud you said it with a straight face.
Oh, God. Every time I've liked them, all they do is disappoint me. Even in games
they
that they're in.
They killed Carl.
even in the games that they're in, like, you're going, oh, no, they're going to go for it on fourth down, aren't they, instead of kicking that field goal that I need. Yeah, and it's an incomplete pass. Thanks, Aaron. Unbelievable. You brought up that the Pro Bowl voting's out, and you said Justin Tucker's an alternate?
Yes.
How does that happen? Like, look, we love Justin Tucker here. There's no... He's not having a season worth being in there. In fact, he's having the worst season. Now, maybe it's changed a little bit over the past couple weeks because he's made some field goals, but anyway, they're not going to be there anyway. They're not going to the damn Pro Bowl. They're going to the Super Bowl. So I truly believe that.
Ravens have more Pro Bowls than anybody.
They should. Yeah. I mean, this is...
I'll tell you where they are and what I learned, but it's...
Okay.
It's, we have 9 Pro Bowlers.
See, the thing for me, though, is like I keep looking back at these past 2 years going... How did that team not win? How did they not win at all? Yeah. And again, like the jury's still out on this one and see what happens them getting in the playoffs. But I'm watching this team all season long like, this can't be it. Because this is back-to-back years where they get through the season relatively healthy, too, which that's a big part of it.
They're as healthy as anybody right now.
Yeah.
You know who's not going this year?
Who?
Pat Mahomes.
Why not? He just said that?
Or he didn't get selected.
He shouldn't have been.
No.
It should have been Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow.
First time since he started for the Chiefs. First time ever. He is not a select. And he shouldn't be. That's why I feel good about it. Yeah.
But I definitely think one of those guys is getting there. Or maybe he just gets there and said, I didn't want to go anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the Chiefs not in selected. The damn Super Bowl again. Gross.
Jaden Daniels was.
He was?
Just the fourth rookie since 1970 to be selected to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Lamar's a poor man's Jaden Daniels,
yeah,
according to some experts out there. All right, here's what we're going to do. We've got Encore, what we learned. Ed's going to tell you who made the Pro Bowl from the Ravens side of things, getting all that and more right here on 105.7 The Fan. Scary part about that is, but Egbuka and of course, Jeremiah Smith, they have so many weapons in that passing game to go to. And those guys stay on the field like for 80% of the plays. There was a play yesterday where Jeremiah Smith came off on a third down after making like a huge 30-yard catch, and I'm going... I can't believe he came off the field. You know, he had a huge, that wasn't, he had a big 30-yard catch and then like a 12-yard catch right after it, or shortly after it. And that's what, they had a penalty, so it was third down. I'm like, I can't believe he's not on the field right now. So, again, good games. We'll get to see a lot of this stuff coming up. 2 games today, only 1 playoff game at 4 o'clock. And unless I'm on the toilet, Ed, I'll be right in front of my TV. I don't know if I can convince my wife to let me put a toilet in the, or
I'm surprised you don't have
TV
one.
In the bathroom. Well, so... When I had my first colonoscopy, the house we lived in a townhome, and we were the only townhome on that street that someone had installed a bathroom right in their living room. So when I went through, like, this little area, you can't even tell it's there. And it's nice to have, because when people are over, it's like, yeah, there's a bathroom on this floor, just go there. And so my wife got mad at me, because when I was going through my first colonoscopy, I had the remote to the TV, I tilted the TV towards the bathroom, and I was just on the crapper the entire time, letting loose and changing the channel.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I was trying to keep myself entertained.
Wow.
Outside of, you know, all the other stuff. There you go, that's the Encore. Yeah. Yep. Fun times for me tomorrow and the rest of the day. Prep, 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 prep.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
And the Encore, of course, brought to you by Lion's Den. Explore without limits, embrace your curiosity.
Roar. All right. I know we're going to get to, you know, what we learned. I usually do jokes. I did want to mention this. You know, I had a buddy die over the holiday. His name's Greg Chappell. I hope it's pronounced Chappell. I never even asked him how to pronounce his last name, Chappell. But he listened to me at nights all the time, and listened to me when I was on with Scott Carso. Listened to the whole station all the time. Worked multiple jobs. And then at some point, he came down with this illness that he thought was just like strep throat.
I remember this.
Remember the story?
Yes.
Kept going back, found out he had some sort of, I don't know if it was like MRSA or what, so many complications, he was in the hospital forever. So much that's when he finally got out, the reason I bring him up, he's the guy that invited me to the trivia team that I started playing on when I moved to Glen Burnie. So it was kind of cool to keep doing that. I met my wife at trivia. I love that stuff. But Greg's one of the sweetest guys, man, and I just... It's kind of cool when all this stuff was going on with me, whether you want to talk about depression and my website being stolen and stuff with the Green Turtle and all that stuff was going on. He was the one guy, like, he said, hey, if I ever get my settlement for this, I want to invest in your company. And I said, I don't want you to invest. You don't have to invest in it. It's going fine. But I really appreciate that. But he was always thinking about other people, and he leaves a son behind. I don't know what happened. I guess once I see everyone and talk to them, but I didn't want to say anything until I saw that the arrangements were posted, because it's not my place to give everybody information. But
just really sorry to hear that, because I thought he was better.
He was getting there.
Yeah.
He still had this weird cough, and you could hear when he's breathing, there's like fluid.
Ugh.
But just, again, I'm not trying to bring the show down, but this is another guy that listened to from as soon as he got in his car to when he left, and even sometimes at home. And when he got sick, he spent a lot of time at home. So going to miss him. We were trying to make some appointments for him to come over to the house and watch some movies, a big movie buff.
Sure.
Now you have me. Yeah, I got you. So you'll have to do. But no, sad. So
That is sad.
Very sorry to hear
about
that.
I did think he was better. I never thought to even ask.
I forgot I even told you about what he was going through, because it was such a scary story.
It's odd.
Yeah, you're going to the patient first, like, oh, I got this.
Sore throat. Yeah.
And it turns out it's something way more severe.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to what we learned today. All right, Ed, what'd you learn today?
I learned that our Baltimore Ravens top the Pro Bowl rosters. They have nine Ravens. Niner. Lions are second with seven. Vikings and Eagles each have six. Who's not going? Pat Mahomes this year. Jaden Daniels, first, just the fourth rookie, 1970 to be on the initial Pro Bowl roster. So I'll just tell you quickly who they are. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, obvious choices are going. The rest are Zay Flowers, Kyle Hamilton, Marlon Humphrey, Tyler Lindebaum, Namdi Madubuike, Pat Ricard, and Roquan Smith are the other. So you got nine Ravens going to the Pro Bowl. That's pretty freaking impressive. Pretty impressive.
It is. You think about all those names that are in there, and the this team, even with the losses they've had, like I keep saying, analytically speaking, when you look at the stats,
very talented.
This is just a ridiculously talented team.
Yeah.
And seeing how those things go. What
former Raven Kyle Juszczyk was selected as ninth most ever by a fullback.
I still think one of the coolest things about Juszczyk is his wife having her own fashion company, and she's from Dundalk.
Oh, really? You met her here?
Yeah. I know she's from here. I don't want to assume. I thought I heard she was from Dundalk.
He's a team captain, too. I swear he had the C on his jersey. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Good for him, man.
He's been there a while. I mean, Kyle Shanahan uses fullbacks in his system, so there's a couple of coaches that still do that. All right, a couple other things. What we learned, I'm going to get to some of these jokes and see what you think. Let's start with these, Ed. My wife was sleeping in the spare bedroom last night. She had enough of my nighttime Elvis impersonations, so I went in and knocked on the door at 3 a.m. and said, are you lonesome tonight? I asked my German friend if he knew the square root of 81. He said no.
Nine. Sorry.
He said no.
Yes. You just used that one, didn't you?
No.
No, that was a bit. That was, I asked the German girl for a phone number. She gave me, she said nine. That's all I got.
Yeah. I want my, where was this one? My damn computer just scrolled down. I had all these jokes here. Let me get to this one then. I always thought it was strange that Peter Parker, that's Spider-Man guys, works as a photographer. Shouldn't he be working in web design? A new study reveals that listening to a Queen album might be bad for your health. It's because of the unusually high mercury content.
Yes.
Yeah, that one too. All right. this is a good one. Where was it at? Maybe this isn't one. I just got a call from my son's school. The principal told me that he's been acting up in class. My response was, he acts up at home all the time, but I don't call you. I walked down the street dressed as a screwdriver. I turned a few heads. I mean, look, some of these are so bad that they end up being good, and that's why I love reading them. But there's so many dad jokes here that just, like, they list and it sucks. You know, like, they're just not good jokes, no matter how you even give the punchline. Last one here. What's the difference between a coyote and a flea? One howls on the prairie while the other prowls on the hairy. Very much so a kid's joke. All right, guys. So I guess you'll have Cordell in with you tomorrow.
Yes.
And again, we'll know what the final four is going to be in the college football playoff. The winner of the Notre Dame Georgia game. We have Ohio State, Texas, so they will move on. And we should get a good round of just playoff games, right?
I like this system, this format they have now. This has been exciting.
Because Penn State versus Notre Dame or Penn State, Georgia interests me.
Yeah.
And then the same thing, Ohio State, Texas.
Come on.
But this is what you should expect, though, from a college football playoff, is that maybe you get a game like Texas, and that's their scare or whatever, and it sends them on their run. Maybe you end up getting a team that does make a run, like if Boise State was able to win and make that run. It does make it kind of exciting, but I don't know if we have the four best teams, but it's pretty damn close, in my opinion, once the winner of Notre Dame, Georgia.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. I like this. I like the teams that are in. You know me. I like seeing Blue Bloods get to the final.
I like Tom Selleck, too.
Yeah, that's the commissioner of New York doesn't wear a uniform, by the way.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
Bring up something that pisses you off.
Yes.
By the way, before we get out of here, I got to say this because I'll be watching a movie and I'll be going, that's like my wife and I were watching Mufasa yesterday at one point. And I'm like, they're not going to take in a stray lion. Lion would crush the skull of a baby cub when he goes into the new. I'm going, it's a damn cartoon. The animals are talking. What are you talking about? It's like when I gave Indiana Jones a hard time for the last one he put out. Aliens. And the first one, a guy's face melted off because they opened a tomb. You know, like, I don't know why you start thinking, this doesn't even make sense. But
however.
No, and you're like, I'm saying that's ridiculous. What you're doing is not.
Yeah, it's like, it's a civilian position. When I got to Deputy Commissioner of New York, I was a uniformed chief. I had to go on leave, become Deputy Commissioner for promotion. I wore a suit every day. You're not in uniform anymore. Civilians are the top people in the NYPD. You don't wear a uniform like Tom Selleck. And not everybody gets the Medal of Honor in the NYPD.
Apparently they do in Blue Bloods. I struck a chord with Ed here. All right, well, Cordell can deal with them tomorrow. I'm out, guys. Colonoscopy, fun times, peeing from your butthole. What are you going to do? Bob Haney's up next here on The Fan.